And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Maxa. We're having a great show with Captain Brandon Hayward from One Man Charters and the Bite Journal. Talking fishing here in the last weekend of 2014, our last show of 2014, headed into 2015, and there's so much good fishing still
going
on.
It's so cool. It's so cool that it's December 28th, and we're still talking about local yellows and where we're going to go to catch, where you're going to go, you know, surface iron, you know, fish following the surface iron on a kelp line in North County. Like, it's so cool that it's this late in the year, and the whole year has just been like that. You know, I mean, it's been the same thing. This is the first time in Let's Talk Hookup that I can remember going a whole year without talking about a great sculpin bite somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, it's a time where we want to throw out some kudos to the behind-the-scenes guys of Let's Talk Hookup here. And that is, of course, our phone guy, Ryan Christensen, a part-time co-host also.
Yeah, right.
And also our phone guy every week. Thanks for coming in every early morning, Saturday and Sunday. Ryan, he does a great job with the phones, and it's fantastic. And
in your 20s, we all know Ryan doesn't let that slow him down. So he's put plenty of late nights in and been here and always made it happen.
Yep,
and,
yep. You know, he does the job.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I want to thank him. Of course, he works at Fisherman's Land Tackle
with
you. And then, of course, our good buddy Adam. Gotta thank Adam. Man, he was gone on his honeymoon for 2 weeks, and boy, did we know it. And we want to thank Adam
for
his
Adam.
Great work on the boards here at the Mighty 1090. He just makes the show so much more pleasurable. And I might add, too, he is the man responsible for getting those archives up on our website, hookup1090.com. And when you see those archives up speedy, quick, and accurately, Adam is
because
the guy
he's here because he's in town.
So thanks for that, and thank Adam when you enjoy those Let's Talk Hookup archives on there.
All right. Well, hey, the phone lines are packed and everybody's excited. It's been a very busy morning, and if you want to get through in the second hour, 858-457-1090. That's the local line, or up and running toll free 877-792-1090, 877-792-1090. Those are your shots right now. Phones are totally packed up, but there is going to be an opportunity for you to get through. And again, as we said at the beginning of the show, just an awesome prize. And thanks so much to Brandon. What a cool opportunity. One lucky caller is going to go fishing on a trip this May with Captain Brandon Hayward, and just so
one-man charters.
You got it, man.
So if somebody wants to go on a one-man charter like me,
yep.
How do they do that?
I would say book it soon. As crazy as this seems, I get a lot of rebooks, and the people who come out the year before have first right of refusal. So I have 6 open party dates, two in May, 2 in June, 2 in July. And I think I did my schedule last night, and I updated it on my website. I only have, like, 4 weekend days available, Saturdays and Sundays in May, June, or July.
Wow.
If you want to do sea bass, I mean, August, nothing.
Yeah.
But if it's something that you want to do and kind of cross up the list, or you've always thought about it, or you want to, whatever, now's a really good time to book it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at your website, onemancharters.com.
Yeah, there's a schedule page on there, and I put that stuff up. And in January and February, I don't run a lot. I threw up an open party trip for Clemente or Catalina, an open party lobster trip for both January and February.
Okay.
Kind of like a Best Betty type thing on fishing, but I think we'll definitely be doing some island stuff.
Yeah.
What would you say is the average group if you were going to charter and go? What's the right amount? Is it one? Is it more? Is it, you know, how
the boat fishes me and 3 guys.
Really
perfect.
Good.
And then it keeps it at a sweet spot. It's $390 a person if you do that.
Okay.
I have some people, they charter the whole boat with 2 guys, or I have a client who comes out solo. But me and 3 guys is good. And on open party trips, I do 3 or 4 guys. If they're really biting and it's really close to home, I'll do 4. But usually I just take 3.
3.
Yeah. And open party, if you want to get on, now's the time. Because open party is 3 times the work as a charter. You got to piece together.
Sure.
You got 3 people to coordinate. Not that I'm scared of that. But as more people have come out and I just book more and more charters, Or three guys come out last year. They had a great trip, so I reached out to them a couple weeks ago and say, hey, do you want to do it again?
You went with so-and-so and so-and-so. You guys want to do the
yeah.
same thing?
And it's cool. They become buds.
That's
and
awesome.
Everything. Yeah. That's yeah. Good. So it's yeah. grown into a fun deal.
You have 23-foot Yamaha-powered Parker.
Yep. Yeah.
Very, very comfortable little cabin inside.
Yeah, it's got a V-berth, so a guy or two people can lay down up there if you want to straighten out your back or whatever. Yeah. You can get out of the weather in there. And yeah, I've been bringing the barbecue on the winter trips. We've been doing little barbecues out
that's
there.
That's cool.
Very
it's
nice.
It's a good time. Yeah, I like it because if you're with the right group, you just feel like you're fishing with your buddies. You
exactly.
know? And it's work. On the flip, maybe some groups aren't as good, and maybe they're not coming back because you do not feel like you're fishing with your buddies.
Well, I mean, you know, it's winter fishing on a small boat and,
yeah.
You know, not the luxury,
not
you know, journeyman or something like that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's a neat experience.
That's
and
cool.
The thing with the sea bass is it's one of those deals you can't just jump on any boat and go and do it. You know,
no.
It's a pretty niche type deal.
Well, and plus you go with somebody who really knows how to catch them, too.
That's the thing.
Which is a rare, rare deal.
And
there's
line,
not a lot of guys like you around there.
And lines of info and stuff like
yeah.
that. So, yeah.
Local trophy hunting, you're only successful if you're going all the time. And that's it, period. You're only successful if you're going because you got to keep on the bait and the fish and the times and everything else. And this is your opportunity to not go all the time, but essentially you're right in that loop. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the boat's going all the time and that info, and, you know, most of us don't have the opportunity to go 3 or 4 or 5
yeah.
days a week, but that's what it takes to consistently catch local trophies. And,
it does.
You know, going once, you know, once a weekend, a month, it just doesn't, you know,
no.
it doesn't work like that.
For example, you know, if Rick or I go on my boat, I got to go find bait, which
sure.
is always, that's always a major challenge. Then you got to find the info where the stuff is. Then you got to hope that you can get set up on the right spot where they've been biting.
Yep.
Sea bass fishing is not easy.
It's tough.
You just make a phone call to Brandon. Hey, I got an opening. He's just coming back from one. He's already been there. He's got a tank full of squid. You just drive out there and, you know, they don't bite every day, but, you know, you just better your odds that way.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is this year in May and June, they were biting every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was. Well, let's hope we have another season.
You're right.
Like that.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
All right. Hey, lines are packed. They want to talk to Captain Brandon Hayward, onemancharters.com. Again, that's where you would look at the calendar, book your trips. And again, we're going to reiterate, I don't care what kind of trip you're going on this next year. Things are busy. Run Man
yes,
Charters
yeah, totally.
Are Let's Talk Hookup trips. They're all really, really full or filled
yeah.
or getting very
San
busy.
Diego overnight boat fill in the blank. Like
right.
if you want to go and you want to
yeah.
get a good spot and this is the day to go with your
yeah.
company or whatever, like
do it.
The days of last minute and like trying to grind guys
yeah.
down for a deal and stuff, that
yeah.
was years ago. That's
yeah.
not happening.
And long range trips, you want to go on a summer or spring or fall long range trip, you gotta get
well,
on it, man.
Yep.
Like look at our Let's Talk Hook Up Royal Star trip. We came back a couple of weeks ago. Next year is done. It's already sold out
right.
and there's already a waiting list now. I mean
yeah.
and that's how things are going. If you want to get on a great trip, you gotta go.
Right. Our journeyman trip for next December sold out.
Right.
Done. All right. So yeah, things are things fill up.
Yes.
So we're trying to kind of let you know. Don't wait around. If you
yeah.
want to go on the better operations, you need to book.
Figure out what your kind of fishing bankroll is, or the percentage of your income that you're going to spend for your leisure activities. And I would book stuff before Fred Hall.
Yes.
And kind of
that's
dot your I's
ticket.
And cross your T's at the show, because it's going to be tough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's jump into the phones.
You got it. Well, the phones are packed up. How about this time we talk to Rudy, who's called us from Carlsbad this morning. Hi, Rudy. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, all the questions I was going to ask have pretty well been answered, but I want to thank you, gentlemen, for, you know, all you do for fishing. And Brandon, how's the family doing? And, you know, you're one of the gentlemen out there that really has helped me as far as learning how to fish better. And for one thing, you're a very humble young man, and there should be more of you out there. And I can't say enough nice things. And save me, you know, a subscription to your magazine. You're my hero, bud.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Landed on thick. Thank you, Rudy. That's very nice. Your family's good. Finn is 5 months old and
yeah.
the other 2.5-year-old. Bought him a Spider-Man fishing rod for Christmas.
Nice.
Get out there a little bit. So
nice.
Everyone's good. Moved into a new house. Everyone's got plenty of room and redid the backyard, and things are good at the Hayward House.
There you go. Good for you, man. All right, you work hard for it. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Sam in Irvine, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hello, Sam.
Morning, Sam.
Good morning. Great show. I had a couple questions for Brandon, but I want to tell everybody I got tuned in a little bit late. If they haven't read his three books, they're awesome, and they've helped my fishing a lot, and the bite was great.
That's right. We forgot about his great books, too.
Yeah, thanks for that. How you doing, Sam?
Good, good. Thank you. Hey, how about the squid? I know they took off last year. Do you see them coming back, hopefully, to get the sea bass going? And the other question, so I get my double in there, is if you're anchored up on your boat, is one side of the boat the one closest to the kelp better to fish on than the other side when you're out there?
Okay, good questions. On the squid tip, I just do whatever it takes to get the squid. Like when it got snug last year, I ran to Catalina a couple times and got it, or link up with G. Paul or one of the light boats up there, run up to Newport, whatever. So I can honestly say there was never a time last year where I was like, oh, man, we're going out, we don't have squid. That's the number one thing.
Got to have.
Because even if there's fish around and you're getting one on mackerel, like on the kelp, if you have squid, you're getting three. So it makes a big difference.
What about fresh dead versus live? Does it make a big difference?
Those local fish, if it's good quality fresh dead, it's fine. Like I've said before, I think once you put live on the hook, it all turns to fresh dead anyways when it's sitting back there, especially when you just impale it on an 8-0 hook.
Yeah.
frozen, catch fish on frozen local, but I just think those big local fish like something that's good and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And on the anchored up one side of the boat question, that's a good question. That's one to ask at the time because you never know which way the current's going or whatever, so there's not a default answer. And a lot of times, sometimes there can be kind of something off the kelp edge that you're setting up onto, which could be bait or a little seam of hard bottom or something. So there's no definitive, but as a default, I'm getting as close to that kelp as possible. Watch a white sea bass video on YouTube where the guys shoot them sometimes. You don't see them blasting those things out in open water. They're in the kelp.
Let me ask you one going back about the squid thing. Sam's going fishing in his boat and wants to have the squid but doesn't have a light boat connection or a Catalina.
Sure.
What is there a thing a guy can do? Is there a fresh dead that can be purchased? Is there a bait that's better than another? What does a guy do?
If you're going to get frozen, that San Pedro stuff is best.
Mm-hmm. San Pedro bait.
It's good. Sometimes you get it and it's like, whoa, this looks like real fresh dead. And sometimes it's not the same.
It's not,
you
know, as good. It's better than the old school.
It's better than anything
tray.
Else you're going to get all the time, but it's not. It just depends on the batch you get, which depends on all the factors they have going with freezing it and such. That's good bait. I've caught fish on that bait before. So that would probably be the good default line. And
no market ever seems to work out right.
If it's got pink in it, I'm saying no, for sure.
Yeah, kind of washed out.
Yeah, yeah. But the best thing to do is to just kind of freeze your own, which is the way to
Very
go.
Very doable.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. Well, hey, let's talk to our good buddy Scott Sherman's on the line this morning. Good morning, Sherm.
Hey, guys. Great show, man. I love all the information. And you got me reminiscing about the year past. And a lot of stuff happened over this last year, you know, in the fishing community with the bluefin tuna issues, the Mexico issues, you know. But I just wanted to thank you guys for what your show does. I mean, you get the word out, you get the community involved, you know, the fishing community gets mobilized, and we've slowed down or stopped a lot of things this year, and it's due in large part to the reach your show has. I just wanted to say thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. That's awful nice, Annie, and certainly kudos back to you, too, for being the politician on the front line as a city councilman. It certainly has helped us in a tremendous way achieve things that maybe we couldn't have achieved without some political clout in there.
No doubt.
I have.
No. It's your guys' word and the mobilization you have to be able to get the word out to people and let them start contacting their elected officials that really makes a difference. But, you know, I was also thinking, looking back over this last year and all we've accomplished, there's one thing that I wish we could have accomplished I haven't done yet. And that's actually collecting my lunch bet from Rick there from the Bay Bass tournament.
That's right. So, is it game on again this year? Is it double or nothing?
First off, you're damn right. It is. and second off, we've tried to get those two guys down there a whole lot of times. So that ball is in the Sherm court for sure.
Yeah.
The offer has been made a whole lot of times.
Are you fishing without flowers again, Sherm?
Yeah, we're fishing. I'm fishing with Al again this year, so I think we should just double or nothing and step it up to a dinner.
There you go.
I mean, hey, I love my partner. I think, you know, he and Doug are great fishermen, but man, having Al on your side who's on the bay every day.
I don't know, dude.
That's a tough one.
I'll still take that bet every year. Last year, I came down. I didn't even make the weigh-in last year for a. I caught that gnarly flu and spent my whole day like throwing up over the side of the boat. Yeah. So I'm willing to take
my
shot. Yeah, I'll take that bet every time.
Brandon, you got some words for Sherm?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks. I have my charter insurance through Fifth Avenue. My in-laws, we got their homeowners insurance, and Rhonda is a stellar employee. She does a great job, so thank you.
Yeah, Fifth Avenue Insurance, they do a great job.
The best, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I will pass that on to them. I appreciate the compliment. And I have one question for you, Brandon, and I'll listen to you guys off the air and be done taking up your time here. When you don't have the squid and those type of things, what's your preferred go-to method to try and catch the white sea bass?
So I don't have squid and there's no squid around, so you're just in the midst of a bite where there's no squid, pretty much. I've caught them on everything from mackerel. I caught them on lizard fish before. So whatever they're foraging on is what I'm going to use for bait, and they're pretty opportunistic. But once a little bit of squid shows up and that ink's in the water, you gotta have the squid. But I would say it's tough to beat a nice big slimy mackerel.
Yeah, they'll eat them.
Yeah, you see some strange stuff in their guts when they're not on squid. They root around a lot, and they'll take anything.
I mean, how many big ones have been caught, you know, in Point South on crocodiles? You know, that's the thing. Everybody wants to have a big crocodile down there.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Sherm, Happy New Year to you. Thanks a lot for all you do. Appreciate the call.
All right, it's time to find out what's going on out on the water. Our FishDope.com report from the man, Captain Dave Hansen, is standing by. And this catch report sponsored in part by Gamakatsu Hooks, Japan's leading fish hook that sets the standard for quality and innovation, strength, and durability. It's the big fish season, and the Gamakatsu Super Nautilus Circle Hook is the one that's putting big fish on the deck. It's strength and durability to help you catch a fish of a lifetime. Get that Gamakatsu Nautilus Super Nautilus hook at your favorite tackle store, and let's jump on the water and talk to the man, your saltwater guide, Dave Hansen's on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Rick, Pete, Brandon.
Dave.
Hey, Brandon, we're over here at Catalina. I've been here since day after Christmas, and from Black Rock down to Red Bluff, you could pretty much stop anywhere, put your light out, and catch some bait.
That's good to know.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We caught bait last night and the night before. And then yesterday we put together a beautiful day. We got limits of lobsters, and then we ended up with 9 yellows at Lion's Head.
Great.
What a cool day. Good way to spend December, huh?
Flip-flop shorts and a t-shirt all day yesterday. It was spectacular, and the yellows were biting. We left them biting because we had to get down to the isthmus and drop somebody off, so.
So there's.
But we left the yellows biting. We're back here again this morning. Right now, there's just a little trickle of current. We're catching some nice calicos, just waiting for the current to start again and start catching some more yellows. But hey, big news. Tornado was over there at the bank yesterday and got those bluefin again. Pretty incredible. December 27th, catching bluefin.
Really?
In U.S. waters.
That's awesome.
January 1st, it's going to happen or whatever.
No doubt.
Yeah. Wow. It was a straight bluefin, no yellowfin?
No, I just heard it was bluefin. And rockfish, they didn't get any yellows or nothing. I just saw bluefin and rockfish. So that told me he's probably on the Cortez, but I'm not positive. I just got a half-assed report because, like I said, I've been over here for 3 days. So
what cool deal. That's awesome.
That's a good thing. And, of course, you can get all the current info. I'm sure you already gave it to Danny. You would find out before anybody else if you had fishdope.com. And $20 savings coupon right now. The code is New Year, one word, all lowercase, no space, New Year, $20 off an annual membership, fishdope.com. I don't know how you go fishing unless you're, like, way connected without fishdope.com.
Right.
It's a must-have. You got to have it. And, Dave, if we want to go fishing with you, how do we do that?
If you'd like to get me on your boat, take you over to somewhere where they're biting at, catch some fish, you can give me a call at 949-374-0786, or you can look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com. And I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Happy New Year to you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Talk to you next year. Appreciate that very much. Enjoy Catalina. Sounds like fun.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over there after the New Year.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Going to hang out over there.
Hang out. Get those big lobsters.
Yeah.
I'm going to run on the Dave Hansen dope.
There's something on... Yeah. Something about those Catalina lobster, man. They just taste
They're sweet,
better.
And there's just something about Catalina Avalon in
yeah.
general. Like, you could be
Pretty
anywhere
magical
in the,
place.
You could be anywhere in the world. It could be the Mediterranean or whatever, yeah. but you're in our own backyard.
Yeah, that's so true.
And in the winter, it's so cool because there's nobody there.
Yeah, you have your own string of moorings.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of fun. All right, Dwayne Patenew from the San Diego Anglers. Big event coming up. It's not that far away, is it, Dwayne?
Morning,
no, Dwayne.
Not at all. I'm calling you from San Quintin Bay right now. We're just dropping in to make some mackerel and go out and cream those yellowtail that are out in the high spots out there.
That's cool. Right out in front of the bay, huh?
Yep. They're 4 or 5 miles off the mouth of the bay, and they're getting nice ones, 20, 25 pounders.
Whoa. So, well,
phone sounds like you were calling from the backyard, Dwayne.
Oh, well, that's great. Anyway, I called to talk about the Bay Bass Tournament coming up on January 24th. We're still taking applications here. So anybody that'd like to get in should send their entry form in. I know we sent out about 500 of them, so we should be getting a pretty good return about now.
All right, so still space available, but again, yeah. it goes quickly, and don't hesitate. I know they have them at various landings, tackle stores throughout San Diego, and you can get a you can even go online at sandiegoanglers.com and get it, right?
That's correct. And this year, for the 20th anniversary, we've bumped the prize up to $2,000. So go out and catch your three biggest sand bass and bring it in, and maybe you can take Doug's $2,000 out of the sponsor in first place there.
Yeah, there you go.
We've been talking about it all morning, Dwayne, and it really is. It is the funnest tournament that we get to be a part of all year. It's just a
awesome.
Really good time and a great barbecue afterwards, and it's all the camaraderie and all the smack talk that goes along with it. And when you really boil it down, it's just a very, very fun day with a bunch of guys that are all sharing the same interest, and it's the tournament I look forward to more than anything else. I can't wait. It's a great time.
Well, thank you very much for that. And did you guys talk about the kayak division, division this year?
Yeah, Fastlane Kayak sponsoring. Awesome. How much is the prize for the kayaks?
First place is $500, and we'll guarantee 5 spots. So the first place is $500.
Wow.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so if you have a kayak or you want to get in a kayak, go see the guys at Fastlane. And then, of course, we're doing the big seminar at Dana Landing in Mission Bay the weekend before, Saturday
the
17th. Yeah, you're going to be down there?
Yes, I'll be there. I'll be there with a table and taking sign-ups and answering any questions that anybody has about the tournament.
All right. Very good. And then we'll do the panel discussion at Fastlane right next door with all that going on. So sign up for the tournament on the 17th. Ask the questions. Get some great deals. Dana Landing in Mission Bay, and then the following weekend down at the gazebo at Shelter Island. Thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate
that's correct.
That.
Okay, I got to get to this mackerel, man. I can't let Dave catch all the mackerel.
Yeah, you better get them. All right.
We'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Dwayne.
I'll enjoy.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Mighty 1090.
It's a big day in Mission Bay. Saturday, January 17th, Dana Landing will host a big bay bass seminar and sale, and Fastlane Kayaks right next door will join the fun with all the new models of Hobie Kayaks. Fastlane is sponsoring the kayak division of the tournament, and they'll have their top pros in attendance to give you hot tips to win the big money. You can check out the new models of Hobie Kayaks, including the new Pro Angler, new Mirage Drive Outbacks, and more. See the latest fishing accessories for your kayak one day only, Saturday, January 17th. At Fastlane Kayaks at Dana Landing across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. Check FastlaneSailing.com. It's big, it's comfortable, and she is beautiful. The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence. Veteran captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Captain Jeff Dubois has helped make the Independence a top-notch operation. Call Independence Sport Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check the availability on spring, summer, and fall trips now at IndependenceSportFishing.com. Imagine being home in the morning and fishing yellowtail and calicos at Cedros Island by the afternoon. Now you can with Cedros Adventures. Experience world-class yellowtail and calico fishing aboard comfortable pongas with local captains that know the island hotspots. Stay in Cedros Adventures' own private waterfront hotel and experience first-class meals and service with pickups in L.A., Orange, or San Diego County. You hop aboard board a scheduled flight to Cedros Island to begin an incredible experience. Trips are all-inclusive and offer old-world hospitality and fantastic fishing. Cedros Adventures. Call 310-435-6353 or check cedrosadventures.com for rates and more information.
If you are ready to experience a real Alaska fishing adventure, check out Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. The calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large towns, so you will enjoy a wilderness adventure without any crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there is no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Whaler's Cove also offers fantastic freshwater fishing in wilderness streams for wild salmon and trout. The Whaler's Cove experience will fulfill your wildest Alaskan dreams on the calm water of the Inside Passage or on a spectacular stream. It's your choice every day at the Whaler's Cove Lodge. After fishing, you will dine on fabulous meals created daily by the Whaler's Cove chefs and relax in your comfortable room or cabin. Learn more about this exciting Alaska destination on their website at whalerscovelodge.com or call 800-423-3123. Whaler's Cove Lodge, a real Alaskan fishing adventure.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
Back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right, phones are packed. They want to talk to Captain Brandon Hayward, One Man Charters in the Bight Journal, coming out with now two per year, the Bight
Two
Journal.
Per year?
Yeah.
From the test issue to two per year.
Yeah. And you said you can subscribe now.
Negative. It's hard to put time on stuff, but yeah. My next thing is redoing our website so that you can subscribe up on it.
We'll let you know when that happens.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, and then otherwise, Fred Hall's a good spot for that.
Yeah,
type of
for
stuff.
Sure. But like I said, and if you want to buy the previous version one, the journal, you're sold out.
Yep.
But we have them on our Let's Talk Hookup website, hookup1090.com. You go to our store page, $15, you buy it right on there. You know, you buy it along with a AFCO shirt or something like that. You get free shipping, the whole deal.
Nice. Cool.
Not a problem. We have them available for you while they last. The Bight Journal Volume 1.
I only have 4 issues at my house, so maybe I'll just go online and just
buy
everything.
You better buy some more. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines.
You got it, man. Jam-packed they are. We're going to start it off with Jeff calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, no problem. Happy New Year, guys.
Okay. Happy New Year.
I have a question for you, Brandon.
Okay.
Real quick, we learned something today, Ricky, that the lizard fish is good for something.
No, it's still not.
Oh.
Lizard fish, man.
Still not good for anything.
Yeah. Everything seems to eat those things, except I keep hearing that halibut like them, but I've never seen it, so I don't believe it.
You have never caught halibut on it.
I don't.
But
I've,
you've caught sea bass.
I've known you for a long time, and trust most which I don't even believe that you caught a sea bass once.
Right, exactly.
But you really did.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get in, if there's no squid around and there's spawning or there's concentrations of lizard fish, that can be a good zone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go, Jeff.
And lizard fish marks like squid on your meter, so at first
it
will trick you.
Always.
And you'll be like, oh my God,
I found
squid.
Found one.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as hook and releasing white sea bass, and do you know anything about, let's say you hook a smaller one and you know there's bigger ones and tankers in the area. Will you maybe release one, or are you going to take it if it's legal? And how do they survive? Like, let's say one breaks you off have you caught them with line and hooks hanging out of their mouth? You know, like, when will they come back and bite? That's kind of
a good question.
Okay, so on the small ones front, like, I think you're saying, like, oh, look at this 30-incher, should we keep this or should we let it go and try for a 50? You're never really put in that spot on the coast because the smallest one we caught last year was 30 pounds on the
nose. That was the smallest.
Smallest. But there was a lot of this, like, 34 to 38-pound fish around, which was kind of a new year class that we hadn't seen in years past, so that was neat. Little ones, there's a few kelp lines where you got to leave sometimes just because you get eaten alive by 22 to 26 inches or whatever. I just don't handle. I'd never touch them. Mm-hmm. I just keep them on the side of the boat and
shake them off.
If unfortunately they swallow it, cut the line. And what was the third part?
He was talking about, you see any hooks in fish that you catch.
No, nothing comes to mind. But they, I mean, you know, there's the whole pier tagging program, and they release those fish. And
have you caught any of the tagged fish?
I haven't caught a tagged fish, but they've been caught in zones pretty close to where they were released.
Yeah.
So it shows us that there's definitely paths that these fish go through.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of this big sea bass has always been around, just it was always swimming through at least, you know?
Yeah.
And now there's no gill net, so they can't get wiped out on the way up and stuff like that. And whatever bait's around, they're just going to kind of forage on that. And if there's nothing in shallow, they're going to be deep.
Yeah.
If there's nothing in deep or mid-range, they're going to be relatively shallow.
Yeah. You know what was interesting? Speaking of tag fish, I was fortunate enough to go to New Zealand with Jack Nielsen and Tom Ward from the Longfin several years ago.
I remember,
Fish giant yellowtail out at White Island with Rick, former San Diego captain, now runs an operation out of there.
Yeah.
And I caught two tagged fish myself.
Really?
On that trip. And I know Jack caught one. I know Tom caught one. I think we caught probably five tagged yellowtail. And interestingly enough, I mean, so what we figured, he said, yeah, these are fish that we caught, you know, last year or the year before or previous trips. He says, they just hang out here. They just live here. But we don't see a lot of that here, do we?
We don't see, no. A lot of our, so much of our fishery is just based on the California current and upwellings and water conditions and, you know, I don't want to say migration so much as like seasonal movements, that type of stuff. But, we were catching these huge yellows this year in May, like huge 45-pounders. We got a 51-pounder.
Whoa.
High 30s. I could be totally wrong, but I think those are fish that came in on the last El Nino or warm water thing, and they just kind of settle in here and live here, and then they just they let their guard down on their squid. Otherwise, they're tough to get in the kelp, like those ones we saw yesterday. So I think that warm water events do really good things in terms of creating, quote, home guards.
Yeah.
Just because it's big doesn't mean it's necessarily a home guard.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thought on our resident fish populations. Same thing, like triggerfish in the Santa Monica Bay, that type of stuff comes up in warm water. The water cools, and it's just kind of living here afterwards. So
it's
one of the benefits of warmer
water. It's a big area.
Yeah.
Throw one thing out there about how us not catching tagged fish out here. I mean, how much of that fish is getting tagged? You know what I mean?
Trace.
You know, I know that there's a great yellowtail tagging project going on right now, but the number of projects that have been done are pretty minuscule, because you look at Lyle's Calico Bass tagging project, which there a lot of bass have been tagged in the last few years with his project, and you catch a lot of them. You know, I mean, when you're targeting bass in the kelp line, you see those tags. I mean, not necessarily every trip, but you see them very often. And when we've been into areas where they've done heavy tagging, on the last tagging trip that I got to go on with Lyle, I caught three tagged fish. You know what I mean? So.
But those fish are much more of a resident fish.
Sure, no, I agree.
Which is interesting.
I just mean the number of tags that are getting put out are so minor.
Yeah.
Who's to say how much are...
Absolutely. But gosh, I mean, have you ever caught a tagged yellowtail or sea bass? I mean,
never in my life.
I've never seen one. I mean, you don't talk to... Wow, you don't really see... But it would be interesting to talk to, you know, Chugi and the guys that are doing that about what's their return or what is actually their return. For example, I mean, I know Hubs would love to see more... heads,
of course,
and you know that there's heads of or there's sea bass being caught that Hubs released 7 years, 6 years, 5 years ago from the sea bass hatchery program, but they'll never know because people don't give their heads to Hubs.
Right.
So it can certainly encourage everybody that catches a sea bass, cut that head off. If you want the stones, they'll give you the stones back. But send it to Hubs. Many of the landings will take them and give them to Hubs.
I turn my heads in. Probably I'm not 100% on it, just because sometimes it's just I just can't. I don't have a way to refrigerate it. It's going to stink on the boat. But I'm just going to say like 80% of them.
80%
have not got a tagged fish back. But what I think is that the fish that have the barcodes in the cheek that they put out into the gene pool has just broadened everything. So theoretically, one we'll call them tagged fish, the ones that have the little code deal in the cheek.
Code, yeah.
Those fish spawn with wild fish. They're not going to have offspring that have half a tag in the cheek, right?
No.
Yeah,
sure.
But it's just done so much to put back into the gene pool and the biomass. You couple that with the removal of the gill nets and just this kind of like cycle that we're in. It's just been the perfect confluence of events for white sea bass.
But there are tag returns. Hubs have had numerous returned tagged fish that they raised in the hatchery and released in the wild. So it's been proven successful.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it.
And that attitude you have, I really like, because I've heard naysayers of it. Oh, it doesn't make a bit of difference. I mean, that's crazy. To think that it makes no difference is nuts, because there's so much fish going in, and just like you say,
it's such a
spawning
zone, it can swim anywhere.
It's an awesome project.
Yeah, for sure. So we need to continue to support projects like that in the hubs.
Here's a small example. There was a pure fish that was released at Catalina. I think it was at Hen Rock, and it was recaptured off Monterey. Nobody in Monterey is turning in heads. They have a really good sea bass fishery up there some years. So a lot of that fish that gets released here could be ending up up there. We don't know it because there's no one turning in head up there.
It would be pretty interesting to educate them to get that thing to do that. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, let's jump back into the phones. Talk to Tom. Calling us from San Diego this morning. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And that even goes out to those Stanford guys, Darth and Wayne. So we're going to be equal opportunity this morning. And I want to comment and add to what people have said about the information you get out about the regulations that are they're prospectively imposing, the hearings they're having, all of that stuff. And I think it makes a huge difference when people show up also that they get behind the people that are helping on that. And that, of course, comes from funding. I mean, I still say you got to hire the meanest, baddest attorneys to fight the same, which the other side has in legions. So anyhow, I commend you for that. And I just have a quick question for your guest about the same question for yellowtail, as far as if you come up to some kelp patty or you're yo-yoing. Can you give us a few more tips on what you have in your quiver if other things are failing?
You just have to fish yellowtail. When I did the first book and I did the yellowtail chapter, I remember I called it like one fish, many personalities, because you can catch them in 56-degree water on the yo-yo iron, or you can catch them in 78-degree water. They're just the range of different places and ways to get them. But this winter, in the kind of short term here, just got to kind of plumb your brain around them being like a deep water bottom fish. Yo-yo, wow. Iron, dropper loop. So surface iron and waxwing, you might have caught your biggest one on that this summer, and that might be your favorite surface iron or your favorite waxwing, but you can throw that thing right now till you're blue in the face in 300 feet of water and catch nothing.
Yeah.
So consider, think about it as more of like a bottom fish like you would on a Tony Reyes type trip. Dropper loop Mac, dropper loop sardine, yo-yo iron, and you'll do well.
Talk about your books for a second. You know, you haven't mentioned the books.
I did three books. I don't have any of them. They've kind of like ran their course, if you will.
They're out of print.
Yeah, you can still get some of them, but there's no new print runs. I did them when I worked at Western Outdoor News, and I no longer work there. What I'll probably do is do a rewrite on the first one and bring it up to speed. Because
the name of the book is?
That was The Southern California Angler.
Yeah.
And I did that in 2009, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible, but a lot has changed in fishing since 2009. Tackle techniques. I don't want to say the book's dated, but the book's kind of dated.
Yeah.
So, and it's all in black and white. So I would probably do a rewrite on that, thicken it up, and just make that like the hand guide for beginning to intermediate with some advanced stuff in it.
Okay.
But otherwise, if you want to dive into the sea bass stuff, I wrote The Local Angler. It's got a heavy dose of sea bass, how to, setting up on spots, no GPS type stuff. I wrote it in the midst of the kind of La Nina squid cycle. So, we'll see how much of it is applicable next year. But all that anchoring stuff and just kind of the small things that make a big difference are all in there.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Johnny, calling us from Irvine this morning. Johnny, thank you for hanging in there with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Johnny.
Hey, I just got a 21-foot skipjack, and it has no electronics. And I hear every time I ask a question to guys that have boats, they say you get separate sonar versus GPS. What do I really need in there?
Brandon?
Electronics change so fast. I have a touchscreen Furuno TZ9. When I got the boat in April of 2013, that was like the cat's meow. Like, if I could have anything, what would I want? This is it. So bit the bullet and went all in on it. With electronics, so much stuff is just integrated. You only need the one screen that has everything.
Yeah.
And you can get that for all different price points. I think out the door. I mean, there's so many different options out there, and it's like, what's better, Coke or Pepsi, Chevy, Ford? It's a personal preference. But you can get a cool little integrated 7-inch unit that has everything on there. And if you're going to be running around at night or go to the islands, if you're going to leave, you need radar, man. If you're going to leave the coast or do anything, fog, just I see
really
these guys
nice
that go out
the
there that
package.
Don't have it. And it's like you're just putting everyone at jeopardy, not even so much yourself, but like other boaters and stuff. So you got to kind of think about that. So you can get something that's all integrated. You want something that has a up and down fish finder, a chart plotter, and a chart plotter slash GPS, and a radar would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And also you want to make sure that you have a really good transducer. If you're serious about fishing, you have to have a through-hole transducer.
Yep.
And as high a watt as you can afford.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Cause the transamount transducers, they may be fine, but
they're good enough, and good enough isn't good enough.
It's not good enough, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and transducers, I mean, I'll give you an example on mine. I think I need a new transducer. I mean, you know, I've got a 1-kilowatt great transducer, but they've made such incredible strides in transducers.
Yeah.
They're just better today.
Yeah.
So the advantage you have, Johnny, is today there's so much good electronics available. For example, like if you don't want to spend a lot of money, you look at that, like the Lowrance package.
Right.
Yeah.
For, you know, $2,500, you can get the radar, you get the transducer, you get, you know, the touch screen, the whole thing, everything you need in there.
Like anything in electronics, if you're not getting the newest, the prices are just going down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you want to spend more money, you're going to gain speed. Speed is another thing, too, is that, you know, faster processors are going to cost more. So, for example, that's the difference between Lowrance versus Simrad. Simrad and Lowrance are the same company, but the Simrad processors are way faster than the Lowrance processors. Yeah. So if speed is not a factor for you, get the Lowrance. If speed's a factor for you, then,
no matter what you get, the first thing you need to learn is, like, what hard bottom looks like. Because if you can figure that part out, then you're going to be pretty good on
What's
a lot
it look
of stuff.
Like, Brandon?
It's just red and dense.
Yeah. Thicker.
Thicker.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. There's so little hard bottom in Southern California, so it's pretty important to be able to suss out where it is.
Yeah. But go to a good electronics store and pick the brains, a lot of brains,
yeah,
a lot of different ones. And good luck with it, because electronics make all the difference in the world.
No
question
that.
About it.
All right, Jillian, Pacific Beach, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Jillian.
Good morning to Pete and Rick and Brandon, and Happy New Year to you all.
Same to you.
Let's look for good fishing again this year. My question is about the tackle used for sea bass. I'm guessing that you're going to do deep water fishing as opposed to shallow fishing. And what do you recommend for anybody wanting to fish sea bass?
Well, there's many different styles, so I'll just comment on what I do.
Okay.
When people come out, I put out a float or a balloon or something like that, and that's kind of like our kite rod. We draw straws at the beginning of the trip, and longest straw gets it first. So we rotate that stuff out, and then so I put two things up on the surface on a little float or a balloon, depending on what the wind and current's doing and which one's best. And then I usually put something on the bottom, but if I've been out 5 days in a row or two, if they're not on the bottom, they're not on the bottom, and everything's up high. Coastal fishery, a lot of times, everything's up more on the top half of the water column. An interesting thing was this year, it seemed like a little quarter-ounce sliding sinker in the hands was the best way to go versus the straight-up fly line, probably because there was a lot more current this year. But even when there wasn't a lot of current, it was just better with a little slider pumping it through the water, whereas 3 years ago, it was all just a hook and a squid. So when people come out with me, I get the three people actively fishing with something in their hands, a light lead head, little slider sinker, and then I get the couple floats out there and up and down dropper loops. There's usually a pattern. Sometimes it's all on the bottom. Sometimes it's all on the surface. And once you figure out that pattern, that's really the kind of key to the fishery.
What pound test are you fishing?
I fish braid on pretty much everything. If I'm out in the mud in the squid grounds, we use 50-pound fluorocarbon leader. If I'm in snug on the kelp line, I'll bump it up and we'll use 80-pound Spectra to 80-pound fluorocarbon. And
nothing less than 50?
No, nothing. No,
yeah.
Never.
Okay.
They're just not line shy, and there's just no real advantage to dropping down. They got teeth and nasty gill plates and rakers and stuff like that. I do like mono sometimes for fly line fishing. It just seems like it's the way that it floats and you can fish the squid, but I mean, I kind of fish rope on my boat.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of light tackle stuff going on. If you come out and you bring your gear, cool. But if I'm fishing straight mono or I have the people who are using like 50.
Yeah.
They're just big fish.
Yeah. And, like, and if you get the opportunity to finally hook one, you don't want to lose it because you, you have 30 on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen many times.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
80 to 80 with an 8-0 hook is a very secure
thing.
Like,
really?
When line's coming off the reel, you feel like you're, you know, things are going to be all right.
It's this crazy blend of like grouper, cabrilla, but you're fishing the kelp lines around here. It's, it's bizarre, but
80 pounds Seaguar fluorocarbon to that 4-0 Gamakatsu 4X strong.
Yeah, 8-0
octopus hook, man. You got them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you want.
It's coming home.
You want to get them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can already start preparing your high shoulder fillet for dinner that night. Like, oh, well, I'm going to be eating you pretty soon.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Jillian.
All right. How about we jump back into the phones and talk to Tom calling us from Temecula. Tom, thanks for hanging in with us this morning.
Morning, guys.
Hi, Tom.
Happy New Year to you all.
Same to you.
Happy New Year.
I got a question for you, Brandon, but first I'm going to just tell my first experience with a white sea bass. As a youngster fishing off San Clemente with my dad, I caught a mackerel and I was pulling it up to the boat. And within eyesight there, I saw a white sea bass come up from behind and grab that mackerel and take off with it. Needless to say, I did not catch that one, but I did catch another one.
Wow.
But that was my first experience.
Enough to get you hooked.
It was.
Yeah, that's cool.
Brandon, you answered a lot of questions about dropper loop fishing and about line size. And I assume if you were to cut one of the lines going out to the dropper loop, would it be important to cut that line that is attached to the main line as opposed to the one that goes down to the sinker? I know you just explained how these guys are not line shy if they're hungry, but I still have kind of a psychological problem with two lines going out to the hook there.
Okay. Well, you can just snip it. You know, there's the two lines that are going into the knot. You can just snip it a quarter inch from the knot, and then you have a big long leg, and
still
you can
strong
play
if
around.
You're using that, if you're using that quadruple sturgeon.
Yeah. Single line, 50. I just like the double just because it gives you all advantages.
Right.
But we got to think about this, too. When you drop down to the bottom, it's dark down there. It's not like fly lining a sardine for tuna, bluefin or something. It's pretty dark down there. They're just foraging.
Yeah. But if you have a problem with it, snip it.
Psychological thing's huge.
Go for it. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about we jump back in, talk to Ruben, who's calling us from Los Angeles. Ruben, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ruben.
Oh, I got excited hearing about all this white sea bass fishing. About 5 years ago on the Pursuit, they were literally crashing the boat.
Wow. Gotta love that.
Fun fishing for sure.
Oh, my God. It was insane. But I want to thank you. The Tiki Thai fishing trip I have, 18th annual trip I have going out, we were successful. I got 10 guys catching their first yellowfin tuna. And I want to thank you because you were the good luck charm. I called you before we went out, and I just want to thank you for a great year of fishing, and I'm going to call you before the 19th.
All right, very good. Ruben, thanks a lot for the call, and Happy New Year to you. I hope 2015 is big success for you.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's going fishing with Captain Brandon Hayward on a one-man charter. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hook Up on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, this is Captain Paul Hebert from the Wicked Piffa. My brother Bruce and I make a living catching giant bluefin tuna. In fact, I wouldn't even go fishing with any other sunglasses than Maui Jim. Put a pair of Maui Jims on and instantly the glare is gone. The UV that can damage your eyes is gone. The ocean's true colors come shining through like never before. And with more contrast and clarity, you can see the bluefin at that critical time. Take it from me. Try a pair at your local tackle shop or check out MauiJim.com. You won't believe your eyes.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
Discover the reliable Yamaha 4-stroke family. This versatile line of outboards is available in a range of horsepower with exciting new additions like the advanced technology next generation F-115 and F-200. Both the F-115 and the innovative award-winning Yamaha F-200 are the lightest double overhead cam 4-stroke in their classes. The original F-150 delivers legendary reliability, and the all-new F-175 creates a convenient new horsepower tier. Compact, lightweight, Yamaha 4-strokes, perfect for repower and ready for anything. Find them today at your local Yamaha Marine dealer.
If you're looking for the ultimate fishing opportunity in the East Cape at an affordable price, check out El Regalo Charters. This meticulously maintained Cabo 35 will pick you up at any East Cape resort. The expert crew of the El Regalo specializes in catching big tuna, wahoo, and kite fishing. No need to bring tackle. El Regalo Sport Fishing features top-of-the-line tackle included in the price. The boat is fast and very fishy. And if it gets too hot, just relax in the air-conditioned salon. Check out El Regalo Sport Fishing for your next trip to the East Cape. Call 619-307-1925 or check out elregalosportfishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner going fishing with Captain Brandon Hayward from One Man Charter. Right? It's Rick in Lakeside. It is Rob in Riverside. You got it, man. Rob stayed on hold till the very end. Didn't make it on. We always say if you make your best effort, you're in the running. And Rob in Riverside, you're going fishing with Captain Brandon, and you are going to have such a great time.
Yeah, indeed. Brandon will be in touch with you. And Brandon, I'll tell you what, there's opportunity to go fishing with you. How do we do that?
You could go through my website, One Man Charters, or Google me, or just a phone call kind of cuts through the middle of it.
Right.
And my cell is 949-212-0719.
All right. Very good. And onemancharters.com, of course, watch for the Bite Journal coming up.
Yeah, good things in 2015.
Yeah,
awesome.
We're looking forward to it. All right. Thank you, Brandon. Great
time. Appreciate it.
Time.
Thank
you. Look forward to having you back real soon. And we'll look forward to having you back next year. That's next Saturday and Sunday. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you have a safe and great New Year celebration. And we'll be back in 2015 next Saturday. Good way to start things. Captain Mike Lackey from the Vagabond going to be right here in the Mighty 1090 studio. And then next Sunday, Captain Derek from the Red Rooster 3 will be here in the Mighty 1090 studio. Great weekend of shows. Again, thank you for everything. Thanks for all your support. Thanks to all our sponsors, Adam, Ryan, Rick, everybody out there, thank you for a great 2014, and we'll see you again in 2015. Happy New Year right here from the Let's Talk Hookup team on the Mighty 1090.